with God's help, to read a very familiar passage, Psalm number 23. Psalm 23. A Psalm of David. And David writes here, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." For a second reading out of the New Testament this time, and with the Lord's help again, would like to read from, again, another familiar portion. St. John's Gospel, chapter number 10. We'd like to read a number of verses from the beginning. St. John, chapter 10. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As a father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them must also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." I have read through verse number 18. Dear brothers and sisters and friends, it's good to be here in the house of prayer, in the house of God, as we gather around his holy word this morning. The Lord has given us a beautiful day. The brother prayed about the gift of a new day and the light. We sing about the light that the Lord gives in the shining of the sun, and it reveals unto us the beauty of God, the creation of God, the things that he has made. The light reveals things. The light shows us things. In darkness, we can't perceive, we can't see. But God gives us the gift of sight, and he gives us the light. And that illuminates for us and gives us the ability to appreciate what the Lord has made. And my prayer would be that this morning, as we gather loved ones, that the light would also shine far brighter than the sun's light. But that reaches into our hearts, the light of God's word, that it would illuminate for us the beauty of his word and the meaning, loved ones, be in the things that he has prepared for us and in the word that he has left for each and every one of us to be blessed by it. And so we have these familiar portions to many of us. And, you know, when I read these just the other day and these portions and thinking about God's word, and we have the Psalm of David, and if we could hear, you know, his voice as he pens down the word, and we can hear him perhaps reciting these words, this psalm that he so beautifully wrote, we could hear the voice of David. And in the New Testament, we have the word of God preserved for us, the words of Jesus Christ, the words that Jesus spoke that were recorded for us by John the Apostle. And it was, you know, if we could hear it as he spoke it in his own voice. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." And they coordinate perfectly, don't they? They work with one another. A foreshadowing of things to come. David had that gift that the Lord gave him. He knew many things about the coming Messiah. He wrote of that. We can read through the book of Psalms. But loved ones, I don't know if he knows or if he could know at that time as good as and as we know it today and have the words of Jesus Christ for each and every one of us. We live in a blessed time, brothers and sisters and friends, to know God's holy word and to have it preserved for us. And we could hear the voice of Jesus Christ through the written word, through the Spirit speaking to each and every one of us. King David knew about sheep. We can read in the Old Testament how he watched his father's sheep. And there's a number of characters in the Word of God that were of that occupation that watched sheep. We know that Moses watched his father-in-law's sheep. We know how King David watched his father's sheep. There are others in the Word of God that were shepherds. And it just seems to me, loved ones, in the quiet of watching sheep and the stillness of that, perhaps there are times of inactivity that an individual can focus on his Creator, on what God has made, and he can learn lessons just by observing, and David certainly did. And that the idea of a shepherd and a sheep is used by Jesus Christ, and we can see that throughout his teaching and even into the New Testament and even into Revelation about the Lamb of God. And so King David watched his father's sheep. The Word of God tells us that there were times that he saved his father's sheep. And in a way, David was a good shepherd. As he saved the sheep from the wolf, from the lion and from the bear, he put his own life in danger. He put his own life on the line to keep the flock safe, to keep the flock from harm. I wonder if it ever crossed his mind. You know, when the bear and the lion would approach, you know, he got up close and personal with them. It says he grabbed one by the beard. He was right in the line of danger. But if he could just take, you know, if he saw a bear coming, if he could take a lamb out of the flock and toss it to the bear, toss it to the lion, you know, occupy that, sacrifice one for the good of the other, for the rest, for the flock. But that's not what he did. Let the bear be occupied with the one lamb that he threw to it, and the rest would be safe. But that's not the heart of a good shepherd. And in his own way, again, David was a good shepherd. And loved ones, certainly Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. He cares about the individual, the very down to the single lamb. There's a hymn that we sing in the Zion's Harp where we sing together that he finds them all. He finds every single one of them. He cares about the one, the 99 that go astray. He cares about the one single lamb, the one sheep, the good shepherd. Brothers and sisters, we can claim that the Lord is our shepherd. And dear friends, as you consider this morning, the one that leads your life, what are you following? Who is leading your life? First verse of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Punctuation is pretty important in the English language. As a child, I was confused by this first verse, by hymn 256 that we sing together out of the Zion's Harp. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And in my young mind, I was thinking, why would I sing that I don't want this shepherd? As if to say, the Lord is the shepherd that I don't want. And loved ones, of course, as we grow older, we more or less have a better understanding of God's word. We have a better handle on the English language. And that punctuation there, the semicolon, is pretty important. I shall not want. I won't have any need if the Lord is my shepherd. And loved ones, if we define that for ourselves, and we can come up with a lot of things that we think that we want and things that we need. But the Lord is going to provide for us that which we need. He tells us, Jesus Christ preaches, and he tells us, even in the written word here, that we are going to be provided for. If we seek him first, if we follow him, then the needs of this life will be taken care of. That's secondary. And he knows the things that we need. He tells us not even to pray for those things. Don't worry about them. He's going to provide that which we need in this life. Seek the kingdom of God, brothers and sisters, each and every day. Things will work out. In our financial needs, in our housing needs, in our food and drink, in the necessity of life, God will provide for us. He will provide for us if we're seeking a spouse, perhaps. He will provide that for us. If God blesses with children, when that happens, he will provide for that. You won't be in need. Trust him. Isn't that a big part, loved ones, of our difficulty in this carnal flesh that we walk in, is to trust him, to follow him, and to lay all things at his feet, every anxiety, every need. It's so easy to stress about things. But he promises us that he will provide. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Sheep out in the field, out in the wilderness, being tended to by a shepherd, will only lie down if they feel comfortable enough to do so. If the environment is made and they feel safe enough. You can't go up to sheep and force them to lay down. The Lord, loved ones, in our lives, he gives us that peace. He gives us that ability, and that calmness in our hearts. And he provides for us that environment, loved ones, to lay all things before him. And the things that we stress and worry about, to lay at his feet. The only thing that the shepherd can do to cause his sheep to lie down is to make that environment that they feel comfortable enough to get off their feet. They're nervous animals. That's part of their makeup. And then they'll lie down and they'll go to sleep. But it's a shepherd's job to create that for them. Loved ones, it's our shepherd that thinks about us and provides us, for us. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Loved ones, again, the sustenance the Lord will provide. We shall not want. We shall not suffer need. He leadeth us to the green pastures. Sheep are ruminants. They eat grass, they eat hay. They have a multi-chambered stomach that processes that which they eat. There's a bacteria or something like that in their rumen, in the part of the stomach, that breaks down the fibers of the grass, of the hay that they eat. And it gives them, and that's how they're nourished. That's the way the Lord created them. A clean animal according to the Old Testament law. And that is to be the majority of their diet. That is what they are given to eat. We have the near cousin of the sheep. We have goats, a few milking goats. And as I think about the green pastures, loved ones, we think about the Word of God, right? We think about taking in the Word of God about feasting on God's Word, partaking of God's Word, the bread of life. But at home, just a short time ago, one of the goats broke into some grain, like in the milking shed, and it ate as much as it could. It gorged itself on grain. And it can't eat it fast enough if you watch them eat grain. You have to be very careful on how much they will consume. It eats so hungrily and so quickly and so greedily. Loved ones, I thought how it must be much more tasty. It must be much more desirable to eat that grain for that goat than to go and to eat grass or weeds. And loved ones, it didn't do well. After consuming that great amount of grain, there's a condition called rumen acidosis. What happens is that the pH level in the stomach goes off and the digestive system shuts down. And the goat, you know, there's a possibility of death. To watch it in the following days, it couldn't eat anything. Nothing looked good to it. It couldn't drink. The whole digestive system shut down. It's lying out in its pen. Its head slumped against the chain link fence. Its eyes barely open or having that glazed look. And you think, what a foolish animal. And it would do it all, you know, once it got better, it would do it all again as soon as it could. Foolish. Why does it go for grain? And brothers and sisters, you can probably see the parallel in our lives. The things that we partake of, the things that we eat, the carnal man has an appetite. The carnal man has a desire to partake of the things that aren't good for us. The carnal man in which we live, brothers and sisters and dear friends, wants grain. And we can define that as the entertainment of this world, the fun in this world, the things that are exciting, the things that are pleasurable, but the things, loved ones, that kill the desire for God. Take a heart full of grain, of the pleasures of this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, these types of things. And then come into the house of God and see if you're ready, if you have an appetite for green pasture. Brothers and sisters, that's why the Lord gives us that gift today. That's why we have that self-control, a gift of the Spirit, a fruit of the Spirit, that we control our intake. A foolish goat can't do it. And it needs to be controlled. And just an aside here, brothers and sisters, think about our children. Are they able to monitor, to discern what they take in? Or is it the responsibility of us as parents to control that in our homes? Do we have access to the things that are bad for them around? Or are we careful to control what is consumed in the places that we can? Satan has grain for everyone. From the youngest to the oldest, he has something to give each one and to cause this shutting down and this inability for the light to shine through into our hearts. Jesus is the good shepherd. He leads us to still waters. He causes us to lie down in green pastures. He takes us to these things. Loved ones, he can't force us. He won't force us. He could, but he doesn't force us to partake. You decide, and I decide. And if we have the appetite, loved ones, and the Lord has given unto each and every one of us that ability to choose out of his great love and his care for his creation, he wants us to choose. Choose that which restores. Choose that which encourages us. The word of God. Loved ones, and the more that we partake of it, the more we'll want. And the more that we eat, the closer we draw to him and walk close to him. And that's the desire of the good shepherd. In St. John's Gospel, the chapter opens It doesn't open with Jesus saying, "I am the good shepherd." But it opens up with what a good shepherd isn't. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Loved ones, who is it that wants to destroy what God calls good? Who wants to come in and kill? It's Satan, isn't it? He's the one that wants to disrupt all that God is the fold, the sheep that the Lord is tending. Satan wants to destroy that, and he comes up in all kinds of ways, doesn't he? In all manner of things in this life, brothers and sisters, there are those things that want to enter in and disrupt what the Lord is doing in the life of the believer, in the flock of the church of God, and wants to destroy. Hanging around, looking for opportunities. But loved ones, Jesus Christ says that I am the door. And that paints a picture for me, thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ as the sheepfold is made. It's perhaps like a circle built up with stones, and the sheep go in there for the night. And Jesus Christ is the door. If you want to go, if you want to get at the sheep, if you want to go through that opening, through that door, you have to go through Jesus. You have to go through him. He's there protecting. Loved ones all around, there are those inroads. And if that sheepfold isn't tight, there are those that would come in and will destroy. Let's be on guard, brothers and sisters, in our lives. Are there those openings for the enemy to climb up some other way, to try to get into our heart? He goes in through the smallest places, doesn't he? The tightest places that perhaps we aren't guarding as well. He wants to creep into our lives, bring that temptation, and bring us down. But we have a good shepherd who cares for his sheep. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The Sunday school picture of the shepherd and his sheep is a beautiful green pasture. Still waters, blue, clear, clean. Sheep with the shepherd, nothing else around. Brothers and sisters, the reality is that there are no fences in this world that separate God's children from this world. There's a mixing in. The brother even prayed about the table that's prepared. In the midst of the enemies, they're all around. And God wants it that way. Behold, I send you forth as sheep amongst wolves. That's the real picture, isn't it? The wolves are all around. The threat is always present. A very present threat, loved ones, of evil around each one of us as believers. We're not taken and we're not sheltered from this world. God wants it that way. He wants us to be in this world. Not that we participate in the things of this world, but that we live amongst those of this world to be lights unto each and every one. In the way that we live, in the things that we say, in the way that we walk, in the way that we follow Jesus. That's the picture. But in the midst of that, loved ones, the Lord provides for each one of us. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Do we find comfort in the staff, loved ones, in the rod? If you think about the shepherds, the staff that he carries, the rod that he has, there's the crook on top, right? That curved part. And that's made so that the shepherd can control the sheep. Is it a comfort to you, brothers and sisters, as it is to me, to know that if I walk in a place that's dangerous for me, if I get close to straying, if I stray from him, from his side, that he will reach out and collar me and pull me back in by his word and by his spirit, and because he cares for me? Isn't that a comfort to know that when that loved ones, we have this loving shepherd? How fearful would it be if we fall into temptation and the Lord doesn't say anything to us? If we're blinded or by the temptations that we fall into, and we're walking close to a cliff and we don't see it because of the blindness of our distracted mind, and we're about to fall over, I know that he will come for me. I know, brothers and sisters, that he will come for you. And he won't, and that should give you hope. That should give you comfort. He's not going to let you, without warning you, to fall into sin or to depart from him. He has your best in view. Jehovah is my shepherd true. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This last verse speaks about looking back and looking forward. When there's trials in our lives, brothers and sisters, when we're struggling, and things before us are dark, and there's things that we're dealing with in our lives, struggles, relationships, children, whatever it is, financial things, We're not completely trusting in the Lord, and it all looks dark before us. You know what this verse tells me? Turn around. Look at the things that are following you. Look at the good that the Lord has worked in your life in the past. Look where he has brought you to. Don't forget to turn around and see the goodness and the mercy that he's led you with his goodness and his mercy, the things that he's led you through. Stop and consider. Count your blessings and consider. Looking forward is dark, but turning around, you see light and you see the Lord's hand in your life. Brothers and sisters, don't forget to do that. He's following. Your life is behind you is this goodness and this mercy, this forgiveness and this help. Even though before you is the valley of the shadow of death, it's his will that we go through these times. Coming here for a funeral, you know, and having those of us that attended or those of us that thought upon my Aunt Margaret as she passed from this life, you know, going into the house of mourning, being better than going into the house of feasting, our hearts are softened. We see the reality of life. We see where this life leads to in the end of it. Beloved ones, the Lord is with us. And the future, the bright future, brothers and sisters, for the believer is to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Are you waiting for that? Are you ready for that? Are you looking forward to that? Don't leave, loved ones. If we don't leave the word of God, we walk in his goodness and we walk and we feed at his table and we're led to these blessings in life and we go through the things that we need to. Lord, he allows us to go through these things, to test our faith, to try as gold is tried through fire, that we might come out purified. And we'll dwell in his house forever. The Lord is my shepherd, the good shepherd. Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, we know that. We know that he was born, and the first that are notified are the shepherds. Shepherds think about lambs, and they care about lambs. The shepherds go, and they see the Lamb of God, Joseph and Mary, and baby Jesus. John the Baptist announces Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. So we can think about Jesus Christ as both the shepherd and the Lamb, and we know the loved ones that he came as that Lamb of God. And then we know that he's a shepherd as he walked here upon this earth. We know that he's a shepherd now. He cares about us now. He tells Peter as he's departing before he's taken back up into glory at the Father's right hand, he reminds Peter and he tells him, commands him to feed my sheep and feed my lambs. He's thinking about his flock. And there are those that are appointed, the elder brothers and sisters, keep them in prayer as they have that under shepherd, a responsibility. The shepherd is still thinking about his flock. They're not walking here amongst us, loved ones, but he still has a flock. And thinking about each and every one of us as his sheep each and every day. Dear friends, this morning, if the Lord is not your shepherd, can you at least see that he is a good shepherd? If he was to be your shepherd, can you see at least that he has your best in mind? That he wants for each and every one his to give his salvation, to draw you in, to bring you in to his sheepfold. With his great love and with the great sacrifice of the Lamb of God, the sin that he has forgiven for each one in that great act of mercy and grace upon the cross of Calvary is offered even yet today. He invites you to come in and to partake. Join the fold. Join the flock Join the family. Join the kingdom. And abide. The invitation is to abide in his house forever. May the Lord bless the word that we heard this morning.